your homepage.
A connection.
985thesportshub.com. You get to experience it for breakfast.
He's like, hello!
The Toucher and Rich Show on 985 The Sports Hub.
Do you have any idea what, I mean, I think they scored seven quick ones. Anything, what happened there?
What happened? We ran them, the first possession, we ran them down all the way to two on the shot clock. Marcus Morris missed a jump shot, followed it up. They got a dunk. We came back down. We ran a set for Jordan Clarkson, and he came off and missed it. They rebounded it. And we came back on the defensive end, and we got a stop. They took it out on the sideline. Jason Tatum took the ball out, threw it to Marcus Smart in the short corner. He made a three. We come back down, missed another shot. And then Tatum came down and went 94 feet, did a Euro step, and made a right-hand layup timeout.
Well, they canceled Kevin Kuwait, so at least you got basketball to fall back on.
I
don't know what. Was Kevin Kuwait on Mondays?
Yeah. That clip right there drove me crazy because afterwards, there were basketball writers just fawning all over that. They looked for an excuse to do any. They had the word genius in their head. Damn it, they were going to write a story about LeBron James being genius after game one, no matter what. And they took that, and this is the actual headline on CBS Sports. It says, this is why LeBron is one of the smartest players we've ever seen. Because he recapped four plays that he was on the court for 20 minutes ago. So I guess that means that he's an absolute genius.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, the writers. They just busted out the Jergens yesterday. They couldn't wait. They couldn't wait. And that's why I was actually really nervous doing that third quarter when it got down to 14. I'm like, please don't come back. Please, because I'm not going to be able to tolerate all of these articles about using the word greatness about LeBron James. I'm going to throw up.
Well,
but they found
worry.
A way no matter what.
Even if they get swept, they'll use the greatness of LeBron James. Brian Robb is from
the Boston Sports Journal.
The Boston Sports Journal,
mm-hmm.
Where he covers the Celtics. Hello, Mr. Brian Robb.
What's up, guys? How are you doing?
I'm just admiring the greatness of the smartest man in the game because he's able to recall something that he actually lived. He was on the floor for. I'm not sure if you were one of the people who called him a genius by any chance.
No, and the clapping after that, Rich. I was in that room for that, and I was just like, you got to be kidding me.
Are you just looking around going, why are you clapping? He literally just said something that he was part of 20 minutes ago.
Right, I mean, like, yeah, okay, decent recall, but, like, you know, let's see, like you said, Rich, it was, like, a half hour ago, it was four plays, and, you know, LeBron left out all the times he, you know, played lethargic defense in that stretch, too, so it wasn't entirely accurate.
He also got a player's name wrong, I believe, in that as well, so.
Right, he's calling, yeah, exactly, Jordan Crawford.
Yeah, so he obviously cares about his team. We saw what happened yesterday, and it was funny, because that Brian Windhorst article that came out last week that we were laughing about how he's LeBron James is smarter than anyone in the league because he walks better on the court than anyone and he knows when to rest and take plays off. I'm kind of glad I read that because it really opened my eyes up to just how many plays LeBron didn't come back defensively for. Just was completely a no-show. Wouldn't on the fast break, wouldn't make it to the other end of the court, left the other players out to dry. Let's say in game two, he does none of that, and he is fully engaged, 100% LeBron James, yet you've got the same defensive output that you had from the Celtics. How much a better shot did the Cavaliers have of taking game two?
I mean, it'll be a closer game if LeBron, you know, gives his full, you know, effort on both ends of the floor. The thing I think that Brad Stevens and the Celtics did extremely well in game one that I think could carry over the rest of the series is, you know, put some pressure on LeBron to make jump shots, to make three-pointers. That's something throughout his postseason career he's had an issue with. He shot, you know, 32% during his career from three, only 26% from three-point range during this postseason specifically. The Pacers and the Raptors didn't really have the core personnel to make them pay for that. But the Celtics obviously have, with Marcus Morris, Ojale Horford, have a lot of guys that can keep them out of the paint. They're going under screen. So, I mean, unless LeBron starts getting comfortable taking those long jumpers and make the Celtics pay for it, I'm not sure he's going to have many answers to this Celtics defense. Given, you know, his inferior supporting cast this year.
So if you're master tactician Tyronn Lue, what do you do to kind of alter things for tomorrow night, given that the Celtics probably don't need to change anything?
Yeah, it's tough, John, because, you know, obviously defensively, the Cavs are a mess too. And I heard you guys, talking about Tristan Thompson earlier. That's something that they could use to, kind of shore up their defense, because the Celtics were kind of running Kevin Love ragged through the pick and roll, getting whatever look they wanted all day long. But if you put in Tristan Thompson with the starters, that means you got to take a shooter off the floor, and that's just going to make things tougher for LeBron for spacing purposes. So, it's a tough balance right there. I think, Lou will probably try to stick with this lineup for one more game to see if he can, shore things up defensively and just hope these guys start making the open shots that, they missed in game one. But there's no solution that takes care of both ends of the floor for the Cavs, and I think that's the problem for them in the series right now.
How was Tristan Thompson in the Raptors series? I to be quite honest, I didn't get to watch any of those games all the way through, and I know that he's been inconsistent as of late.
Yeah, he was really good in game one, Rich. He had a bunch. He was like a monster on the offensive glass in that game. Had, I think, 7 rebounds, kind of fought hard with Valanciunas. But then he returned to a bench role and didn't really do much for the last 3 games. So he played like 10, 15 minutes a game, grabbed a couple rebounds, a couple points. But wasn't the big factor that Celtics fans had seen, the last couple postseasons, obviously. And he's been up and down all year long with the, problems on the floor and off the floor, obviously, that, who knows how much that's affecting him. But they're gonna need a monster series from him, I think, to overtake this. Especially since the Celtics have obviously better personnel than Aaron Baines to kind of just like go toe to toe with him down low. He won't get pushed around.
Who's a brick house in the shower? If you listen to Tommy Hudson,
no, oh, he's all of Australia.
He's all of Australia. You know what I'm saying? Hog alert!
I think he actually added that afterwards after the mic.
He's got a kangaroo. I'd like to get in that pocket.
Don't quite know what the pocket thing is, but
kangaroo's got a pocket.
Okay, yes, they do.
Old movies.
Yes, he does like old movies. So the Kevin Love Al Horford matchup seemed to work extremely well. I think Horford was 7 of 8 when he was on Kevin Love, and we've talked about the opposite plus minuses that the two of them had. I mean, it really was a tale of two players. How confident are you that they can continue that success against them?
Pretty confident, Rich. This has been a problem all year for the Cavs. If you look at the list of reasons why this defense is, bottom of the league all year long, Kevin Love is probably number one on that list. The Celtics, pretty much every time they put him in a pick and roll, they got a great shot, whether it was an Al Horford three, whether it was a layup by Smart or Rozier or just an alley-oop there. Like, someone was getting an open shot in that situation. The Cavs would try double team. They would try, leave a shooter. Nothing really worked against the Celtics because, they have three-point shooters all over the floor, people that they can punish you for just Love's inability to stick with or slow down penetration. So, again, I don't know what the answer is for Ty Lue there. You need Kevin Love, obviously, for his scoring, for his spacing. But, again, he killed the Celtics last postseason. He really won that head-to-head matchup with Horford, and that was a big part of that, series being such a blowout. But he hasn't been a different player this year. Al Horford has had his demons against the Cavs, but is, playing, I think, some of the best basketball of his career right now. Particularly shooting wise, and it's just one game, but I think Love's defense is going to be, if the Cavs lose this series, that's going to be probably the main reason why.
Do you think Horford, part of the reason he's playing this well is because he's the guy, like he's the veteran, that he's
everything kind of runs through him.
Everything runs through him, and he's got to be more responsible?
Yeah, no, I think he's definitely right. I think his confidence level is definitely high. Because of that, for a reason, he's getting really good shots on offense, and he's making them. And he knows that he is going to get those looks in this offense. Now it's going to come to him. And I also think a big reason too is just defensively, the Celtics have far better personnel around him than they've ever had. And even back to Horford's days in Atlanta, this is between Marcus Morris, Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown. Tatum has been, great for a rookie defensively. That lets Horford kind of do his job in that and not have to overextend himself there. And that's really, I think, turned into positive results on both sides of the floor for him.
Brian, how sold are you on the Cleveland bench and their ability to score, even to support, even in a minor role, LeBron James and Kevin Love, you know, Rodney Hood, George Hill, even Jeff Green, who angers me because it looks like he cares this year, as opposed to all the other years he's been in the league, including the two or three he was here. How sold are you on any of these guys being able to help?
I mean, not that much, John. It's the thing with the Cavs right now is teams that make blockbuster trades in the middle of the year generally are not championship teams. There are a couple exceptions, but usually that blows up in the postseason because you don't have the continuity factor. You haven't played with these guys all year long. You don't know where they're going to be on the floor. And then you just look at the track record of these guys they have. Jeff Green, you know, this may be one of the better seasons of his career, but he's still Jeff Green. Celtics fans know what to expect from this guy. We saw that in game one. And then, you know, like Ronnie Hood has been up and down. Jordan Clarkson is just a chucker on offense first guy who doesn't play a lick of defense. And, I mean, Larry Nance Jr., I feel like that's the one guy that kind of scares me on their bench that they haven't really played yet. He can play some defense. He's a good rim runner. But no one, again, the supporting cast here for LeBron is, I think, the worst, close to the worst of his career, at least to the first time in Cleveland. Like maybe 2007 Cavs had a worse supporting cast than this team for LeBron.
But was he good in that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was great. He was great.
In 2007 against the Pistons. That was against the Pistons, right?
Yeah, that was the Pistons.
That is the best I've ever seen a basketball player play.
Oh, you see, I'll have to go with game six in 2012, LeBron James.
A whole series.
Oh, are you talking about a game?
Single-handedly take a team that's awful. Like, Zydrunas Ilgauskas was the best player on that team other than him. That Cleveland team was awful. I mean, people had that was a really good Pistons team.
I'll counter that with a year that they lost to Golden State and everyone was hurt and he was the only one dragging. Remember, they thought he was going to be MVP even though the Cavs were going to lose?
Love and Irving both got hurt.
He was awesome.
Very, very good Pistons team almost literally by himself.
And I guess that was impressive because he was so young at that time, too.
Right.
Yeah.
He'd take over. I mean, that was, I didn't think that in a million years the Pistons weren't going to win that series and he just went nuts. All right.
Wasn't that the year I think he scored like 20 straight points in one of those games?
Yes. I believe it was in the fourth quarter, and he scored 20 straight points. And that was a team not far off a championship, if I'm not mistaken. So there you go. All right. Brian, Rob, always appreciate the time. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, we appreciate it. Oh, boy, yeah, was LeBron good in that series.
Oh, this is weird. I'm looking at this, of course, was retweeted by Joe Murray, but this series is like so even as far as in the eyes of bettors that there's no favorite outcome. None. They're all plus four, like Cleveland in five plus 450, Cleveland in six plus 300, Cleveland seven plus 400, Boston in four plus 1200, Boston in five plus 600, Boston in six plus 450, Boston in seven plus 500. I mean, it's like,
odds are slightly longer against the Celtics, but pretty even.
Yeah. But that's pretty damn even.
Should we have Murray and Lifshitz?
Oh, hey. Oh, listen, what are we calling them? The bankroll boys?
Is that what you call them?
Heavy betting with the bankroll boys.
That's right.
We got to get them back in here. Lifshitz and Murray?
Maybe tomorrow. Lifshitz and Murray.
I mean, there's big money in the playoffs. Everyone's going to be talking about these
two
series.
Another way to preview game two.
7 o'clock, Lifshitz and Murray.
Let's see if they can come on.
Of course they can come on.
T&R.
I heard you like to party.
The 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I mean, that's not the way human beings act.
Follow these guys on Twitter at Toucher and Rich.
Boy, did Twitter explode.
Celtics will have to get it across half court. It'll be a long 48 hours for Ty Lue, for LeBron James and the Cavs as they come to Boston where they have had so much postseason success in the last 6 years and they get blown out. The final score in Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals. It's all Celtics start to finish. Boston 108, Cleveland 83.
That 8-5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich.
I was so bummed, Fred, on, I guess it would have been Sunday, yesterday morning, or maybe it came out Saturday night. The Celtics tweeted out this like pump up video, which all the teams like to do, and you know sometimes it gets swept up in it, and I'll click it, and I'll give you, oh, that's kind of cool. And it started off; it was very well done, and it shows, you know, no one thought we would get here, and there's this voiceover, and it's got this dramatic music, and it's like Jason Tatum Hey, everyone thought we were too young. All of our stars went down, and it's building up. And I'm like, yeah, all right. It's getting into it. Goes, no one believed in us, and no one thought we would make it here. And then they reveal who's doing the voiceover, and
Lenny Clark.
What's that? No. No. Donnie Wahlberg. Womp womp. And then it was just like, all right. I went from attention to 6 o'clock. So it was absolutely
Here's the deal. Every comedian in the world is from Newton.
It's true.
I
thought about this.
BJ Novak, Amy Poehler, Louis C.K., which I guess you wouldn't want to do it right now.
Conan O'Brien.
Conan O'Brien went to Harvard. The Colin Jost kid went to Harvard. Every comedian is from... who was I just hearing?
You've got... It's funny, I Googled comedians from Massachusetts, and for some reason...
Bill Burr.
Orny Adams was the first one. Yeah, Bill Burr! I mean, why does Donnie Wahlberg need to be the voice of all things
Dennis
Boston
Leary.
Sports? Why do we have
because
to go to him?
Because he takes Lear Jets and goes to every single playoff game the Celtics play.
Well, how about you get the guy who actually owns the Lear Jet?
That's cool with me.
I mean, he's courtside. RKK's down there. Why don't you get him to do it?
Here's the deal.
Come on, let's get RKK to do the voiceover. You know he would love to do it.
You do soy milk.
Just put actors from Boston. I mean, it's an incredible list.
I would take Eliza Dushku over Donnie Wahlberg.
I'm sure she'd be happy to do it.
Like, if you're Cleveland and you get, like, Drew Carey, right? Because, who else are you going to get?
Right.
So, like, I understand that.
I'm just
But Wahlberg, Mark Wahlberg is a huge star.
Yes.
Okay? There are a million, I know B.J. Novak's not the biggest star, but Amy Poehler.
Kurt Russell's from here?
No.
Kurt Russell's from Springfield. He's born in Springfield.
He's probably Jack Burton. Jack Burton from Big Trouble in Little China. Have him be the voiceover guy.
Great movie.
You tell him the check is in the mail, the Pork Chop Express.
Yeah. Troy, go ahead.
What's going on? I feel exactly the way you guys feel. I said, Philadelphia had Will Smith for crying out loud, and we got Donnie Wahlberg.
And it's not like there's no...
Michael Chiklis used to be the go-to before Wahlberg.
Oh, stop with that. I'd rather have Wahlberg than Chiklis.
I love saying, the Shield. Yeah. Chiklis is insufferable.
He was the guy for a while.
Chris Evans. Chris Evans. He's Captain America.
Right?
He's in the biggest movie of all time. Right. Get Chris Evans. Captain America.
Used to be Michael Chiklis or Michael Malley. Those used to be the two.
As a matter of fact,
during the Red Sox run where they put out the DVDs after their 04 and 07, 04 was the big one. It was a lot of Michael Malley in that.
I like Michael Malley, and that's fine. And at one point, he was had a sitcom and whatever.
I'd even take Dennis Leary if he didn't call me pal all the time. Hey, pal. This thing's got torque, pal. It's the kind of thing you use to open your beer. Hey, pal.
Dennis Leary has done a lot of stuff I love. And I think Dennis Leary's a bigger star than Wahlberg.
Ooh, I don't think that.
Wahlberg?
That's not true.
Leary had
don't say rescue me because I'll go Blue Bloods on you, and that's CBS versus FX.
But he's been a star of movies.
Well, Donnie Wahlberg was a massive star in music. He was one of the New Kids in the Block.
Okay, touche.
He played stadiums. I mean, the guy played stadiums.
Yeah, for that'd be like saying
sold out Fenway.
Okay, I know. All right, that'd be like saying.
I agree with you.
Like,
he doesn't seem like a big star.
Davy Jones if he wasn't dead. at one point, the Monkees were huge. I mean, the shelf life of... maybe not Dennis Leary, but there's certainly...
Steve Carell. He's from Massachusetts.
Yeah, Steve Carell.
Like, Steve Carell would be great. Eric Bogosian.
Eric Bogosian.
I'm just looking at this list of radio fame.
If you want to see some... Just look, Eric Bogosian did all those one-man shows.
Yeah.
There's nothing funnier than someone doing a one-man show. It is fantastic.
Because it's uncomfortable?
Oh, it's just gross.
I saw the one-man Star Wars trilogy. It was the one guy who did the entire Star Wars trilogy on stage by himself.
Dan, you'll know this. Who's the guy that did all the one-man shows and ended up killing himself in Long Island?
Jackie Mason?
No.
Jackie Mason.
No, I killed it on Long Island and killed myself.
Hey, be the ball. If I wanted to be a piece of sporting equipment, it'd be a woman's bicycle seat.
He was always on PBS. Oh, Sterling. Oh, man. Please someone let me know.
Call in. He did one-man shows, because then we got to grab audio of one of them.
Okay, all right.
He did one-man... Okay, forget it.
This is such a horrible list that I've got. And I mean, they've got, like, you know, Matt Damon on here. We just need someone other than Donnie Wahlberg. That really... I was so into it, and then I'm like... And then they had to show him. I'm like, what are we doing here? There's so many better people from Massachusetts we could get instead of Donnie Wahlberg.
Well, maybe he also agreed to do it. Brad, go ahead.
All right. The only reason I go with Donnie Wahlberg is... He's sitting courtside all the time, and he's just got the Boston accent. It is all about that Boston accent. None of those other accents.
Does he live
really
here?
Have the Boston accent.
Does he live here?
No. But he did. Come on, the Wahlberg legacy.
Yeah, when he was a kid. Yeah, like he moved when he was like, what, 12, 13? Yeah, he was a million. By the way, fairness. I love the whole thing about it. The hard streets of Dorchester. Dude, you were a millionaire by age 13. You were the new kids in the block. Like, well, you were loaded when you were a child.
I think Maurice Starr got probably about 99% of that.
That's probably
income.
A good point. He had to afford all those patches on his jacket.
Spalding Gray, by the way.
Yes, I was just going to say.
Thank you. If you've ever want to see something that is so uncomfortable. Now, the guy did kill himself. But if you want to see something that's so uncomfortable that it's almost delightful, it's Spalding Gray doing a one-man show.
Apparently the guy who played the Scarecrow and the Tin Men in Wizard of Oz are both from here.
Okay.
So get them if they're not dead.
All right.
This is a kind of a sad list, to be honest.
Wait, the Tin Man and the Lion?
Yeah, I guess. No, Tin Man and the Scarecrow were both from Massachusetts.
Oh, I thought they were the same
I'm
guy.
I'm going through this list, and I thought I was going to be like blown away by the amount of like big actors here, and I'm not really feeling it. There's like when you got Bogosian six down. Oh, Man with a Plan. Matt LeBlanc. Not Man with a Plan. Yeah.
Matt LeBlanc's from Newton. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's from the other side of Newton. Brighton.
Nonantum section of Newton. Is that right?
Whatever is by that Trader Joe's.
Okay.
You know, I don't care. Area. Get one-third of the Pointer Sisters like you did with the Red Sox.
Sure.
Just not Donnie Wahlberg.
The Pointer Sisters are from here?
Well, one-third of them is.
Oh.
Remember she sang the national anthem
on opening day.
Oh, mm-hmm. Now I do. It didn't stick with
Ruth,
me that much.
I believe it's Ruth Pointer.
All right. So I already did this thing.
The dude from Iron Chef.
Okay.
He's about 10 down, which is kind of sad.
Robert, go ahead.
How about George the Animal Steel, the wrestler?
All right. You're going to have to share him, though, with Westland, Michigan, because he was a football coach for like 30 years outside of Detroit. So I'm not giving you George the Animal Steel, my friend.
Now, what if...
Go ahead. Flutie.
Doug Flutie? Okay, that'd be fine. I'd have no problem with Doug Flutie doing it. Sure.
As long as he's playing the drums.
You know what? I heard that one of the Barbarian brothers lives in Rhode Island. Now, couldn't you claim him? I mean, you know, sure. there's no Rhode Island basketball. The videos are really weird. That's indeed him.
One of the guys from the Barbarian Twins apparently has made this video, and Rich was like getting really anxious watching it.
This video? How about like 40 of them that were like that?
He's super into the Bible now. Gray, go ahead.
Yeah, just calling to let you know that the guy you're trying to think of, his name is Spalding Gray.
Yeah, okay, so you've watched this one-man shows?
Yeah, I saw Swimming to Cambodia, I think it was called.
And, like, he's just at a table, like, with a black backdrop and a glass of water?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yep. Very uncomfortable.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. I haven't seen it in a while, but...
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, being kind of bored.
Oh, yeah, they're boring as hell, but he starts crying.
You left one celebrity out, Tyler Faith. Where's she from again?
Oh, she's Saugus's own adult film star. Saugus. I keep meaning to have her in studio for one of these Townie things. Oh, if we're looking for a third Townie, we can have her.
There you go.
I mean, she's from Saugus.
Well, I mean, we do need to do another Townie test soon.
So Tyler Faith, she wants to do the show. I probably seem like a complete psycho because I'll put her on Instagram, and I'll be like, hey, you know, like next week we're doing something on the show, and she'll be like, great. And then we'll never end up happening. And then I'm like, okay. So I think she should be involved in the next Townie test. I mean, she won't get naked or anything, but she could be here.
Well, she'd at least be an interesting personality.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And you know, the gentleman would be very excited because anytime they hear a female voice.
Yeah, it's weird.
Tyler Faith's a good looking woman. Good looking woman. All right, Rich, we have the stat coming up. What will we talk about?
Oh, a whole lot more reboots coming out for television, Fred. Let's see if you are going to be on board with the ones that have been announced.
No.
On top of that, the Patriots have just hired somebody, a very interesting coaching hire that I will tell you guys about, thinking outside of the box.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Here are the headlines.
Tucker and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This was not supposed to happen. None of this was supposed to happen. Deer season, the hunt is over. In Philly, they're still processing. But now, it's time to take the crown. But what does it take to overthrow the throne? Relentless rooks, battle-tested vets, a team that will lay it all out, but never lie down. All led by a coach who's ready to conquer. In our house, with this team, and this coach, and these fans, anything is possible. Expect us to bend the knee? Boston doesn't bend the knee for anyone. What have you been doing?
Hey, Quentin, what's up, man?
That's who you need. Not Wahlberg.
Hey, Quentin. Here, come watch me noodle with these guitars.
And then at the end of it, he goes,
hey, you fired up?
You fired up now?
I was until I talked to you. Mike Lockhart just gave me this story. Today is the 11th?
No, today's 14th.
Okay, so this happened on May 10th. Earlier this morning, Friday, May 10th, an anonymous phone call was placed to Holliston Police Department claiming that the student had a bomb in his or her car.
Yeah.
So the fire department goes over there and interviews, and they find the anonymous caller and the student who was supposedly had the material in his car. When the anonymous caller was interviewed by school officials, he/she immediately, emphatically, and convincingly reported that he/she had called to report that the other student had a bong in his or her car, and not a bong. The search of the student suspect's car confirmed the caller's words were misunderstood. Well, there's one guarantee in that story. The person that called the police is a nerd.
Just to narc on him? Is a bong in the car?
Why would you care if someone had a bong in their car? Like, what's going on? Like, if your kid came home who was in high school and said, hey, Ma, hey, Dad, I called the police today. And you said, over what? Someone at school had a bong of which they smoked marijuana in their car. What would you say?
I mean, to that, I would probably say to them,
that's cool with me.
420 Kraft wouldn't have a huge problem.
Hey, Jerry, don't let anyone put the divider up. It's time to get baked.
Here's the deal. Yes.
What? Someone called the Popo on RKK?
So I call him Mr. Lemonade.
Hey, I'm just eating brownies there, copper.
Just in the parking lot, just crunching these little edibles?
There ain't nothing here but a bag full of gummies.
Pretty cool.
It's pretty cool, yeah?
RKK is all about the edibles.
That's right. This bong's got three nozzles on it.
Triple header.
Yeah, I call it the triple header.
It's the triple header. It's Bonkowski, the triple header.
Yeah, I got Meek Mill on one side, and I got Ghostface Killer on the other one.
That's cool with me.
Yes, it is.
First one to clear it. You got my respect.
You do soy milk or regular.
I don't know where that's even from. Where do we get the soy milk or regular from?
I got a new pair of Air Force Ones called the Doobie.
What?
It's got the papers.
Like the zigzag?
Yeah. It's got the zigzag.
Right? Does it really just got that right up there? That's your new Air Force Ones?
You go into RKK's office and he's like, turn off the lights and turn on the black light.
And he goes,
are we prepared to reveal?
Yeah, that's
and
right.
It goes, and it just says Shrooman.
Pretty cool.
You like the knockers on this chick in the black light poster? She's riding the damn dragon.
Yeah, it's like the cover of heavy metal. Right there. You big fan?
Oh, we were going to pop on heavy metal and just get loose?
Yeah. Triple head up.
Jeez. Hey, why are you busting AKK's balls about the mushrooms? They're from the earth, baby. God wants us to eat them.
It's psychedelic crap.
Yes.
I'm tasting all sorts of colors, man.
Hey, Gaskowski. Hey, go out to that field and start picking up cow crap. Get our KK some.
Pardon me there, Edelman.
Is that a wizard throwing fireballs over your shoulder, or have I just had some bad stuff?
Here's the deal.
They asked me about the tuck rule. I can tell you, that thing was like in slow motion, baby. That Brady's arm turned into it was like a million.
That's cool with
There's
me.
Nothing better than taking some, eating some shrooms and going out and just watching one of Brady's passes. It's got a rainbow trail on the damn thing.
It's psychedelic crap.
Yeah. Why not? Get in my own head.
Sure.
You know, before I decided to take Brady with the sixth pick, I'd been up all night on shrooms, and it just occurred to me, I saw a six in an M, and I said, take the kid from Michigan, Bill.
Triple head up, baby.
Okay. All right, thank you. That's the worst song ever.
Hey, one time, okay. You can't come into my home.
Why? I can't come into your home?
No.
Why?
One time came to try to get in my home, take my whatever. I said, yo, it's on. One time, nope.
I don't even know what you're talking about here.
It's the Cypress Hill song.
Oh, God, okay, why is he? No. Okay, all right, I had no idea.
I could just kill him, man.
Yes, I'm sure.
I'll sit with B. Real.
Yes, and send dog.
Pass it.
Yeah, I'm sure you could definitely pass
you're
it around.
You're Bogarting it.
But do you want to hear that weird guy you were talking about? The one hit, one show. What's
with one hit? Maybe for you.
The guy who did his own show, the one-man show? What's his name?
Spalding Gray?
Yeah, you want to hear a little bit of him?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. This is that guy. I don't know who this guy is.
Right, so you've got to picture a desk, a glass of water, and and that's it. Like a spa stage.
Sorry, a desk and a glass of water and RKK. All right, this is Spalding Gray.
If I had a chance, I'd take the train rather than the plane. I like it because of the lounge cars. People sit down and tell you things they never tell you anywhere else because they think they'll never see you again. I mean, it's kind of like a big rolling confessional. So I'm on my way to Chicago, and this guy comes up and says, hi, can I have a seat? I said, sure, why not? Sit down, what's up?
What is
said
this?
Nothing much. I said, what do you do? He said, I'm in the Navy. He was in civvies. So
I can't even listen to this.
No, it's him sitting, and then he stands up and we'll have a conversation with someone who's not there.
I've seen this show 100 times at Park Street Station.
It's just
people standing outside usually yelling this at the sun.
And then they'll like break the glass and be like, Dad! Dad! No! You listen to me this time! And then Dad said, hey, flash 6 years yes. later, we're burying my father.
Yes, all the people by Park Street Station are putting on a one-man show of their own.
Yes.
This sounds exactly like the kind of people that I walk by.
Yeah, Park Street Station, baby.
Yeah, what happens there, RKK?
Sometimes I'll meet my guy out there.
Okay.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Have to come all the way into town to do that.
Wait, I want some, what do you got there? Latin Sunshine?
Somebody said, RKK, call me RKK, a.k.a. Robbie Chong.
Oh, yeah, Cheech Marin, good friend.
Oh, really? You good friend with him, 420 Craft?
Yeah, Tommy? Not so much.
Why?
Well, I hooked him up when he was locked up. He never returned the favor.
Okay.
Half his commissary was on RKK.
Okay, so you didn't bust him out, kind of like Meek Mill?
Didn't bust Meek Mill out. I just told people I dropped science.
Okay.
Pretty cool.
Said, hey, these three strike rules are for the birds.
Okay, all right. Appreciate it.
All right.
Well, there you go. There's 420 crap for you. But Chris Bosch is being sued by his mom. The reason is that he's trying to evict her from her house.
Okay.
According to court documents that have been obtained, Bosch's mother, Frida, has filed a lawsuit claiming Chris promised to take care of her and allow her to live in her DeSoto home for the remainder of her life. And they say that Chris had her sign documents in 2005 related to the deed of the home, and she believed at the time she was signing papers related to her divorce. Either way, she claims that before signing the deed, Chris said that she could stay there for the rest of her life. However, she now claims that Chris misrepresented documents saying that she was allowed to transfer or the property was transferred to Chris. So he's saying, get out of the house. And she's saying no. And now he's trying to evict her from her own house. Wow. So there you go. Chris Bosch. Happy Mother's Day.
Yeah, by the way, well, listen, when you look like a dinosaur, you can get away with a lot of stuff.
by the way, Magnum P.I. being rebooted, Brooklyn Nine-Nine has been saved by Fox.
I wonder if they could have come up with a detective show that was as unique as Magnum P.I.
Who's Magnum P.I.? Who's the new one?
It's going to be some guy named Jay Hernandez. Jay Hernandez, what teen movie was he in?
Oh, it was Friday Night Lights he was in.
He was in Caligula.
He was also in Hostel.
Was it really?
Which is kind of an all right horror movie.
Yeah. I wonder, there's not enough detective show ideas going around. I'm glad that they really stuck it with the Magnum P.I.
Ooh, Jay Hernandez, he was in one of the who was the total bro author who wrote I Hope They Serve Beer in Hell?
My mind's not working.
Yeah, but he was like total bro out. Tucker Max. He was in the Tucker Max movie, the I Hope They Serve Beer in Hell movie, which is one of the worst movies ever made.
I don't even know if that made it to the theater. We'll be right back. We'll find out what Zolik and Bertrand have on the way.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich.
We're Toucher and Rich. Scott Zolak has announced that he's brought in a new toy. He's referring to a grown man. Take with that what you will.
Check the hair out, dude. Smile for TV.
Glorious. Look at that.
Where is it? Doesn't matter.
All of these things are cameras. Don't worry about it. Just look at the person you're talking to.
So my new toy from UMass Amherst.
Okay. That's not a very good school.
My intern, check the hair
new
out.
Toy.
You got a girlfriend?
I do.
Oh.
What's her name?
This sounds exactly like how a prison relationship would start. Here's my new toy. You got a girlfriend?
You do now.
Hearts are breaking all across New England. He's like, across the country.
He's like, you got a girlfriend?
You're on national TV, bro.
You got a girlfriend? No. I got one, you. All right, so you're interning?
Interning.
Okay, is this your first day in the job?
Very first day.
Okay.
Well, you don't seem nervous. That's good.
I'm trying my best.
Your first impression of Scott Zolak?
I like him a lot.
Yeah. Now, why is that?
He's pretty tan.
Pretty what?
You're pretty tan.
Tan?
Yeah.
Ain't seen nothing yet.
Yeah, I mean, beat.
What, are you going to show him more of your tan? Now. What does that mean? Ain't seen nothing yet.
GTL, bro. You watch Jersey Shore?
I do, yeah.
GTL.
Nice.
GTL, yeah, not GTO. GTL.
GTL.
Yeah, Jim Tan Laundry.
You said GTO.
Yeah.
He said GTO?
No, you said GTL.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
I don't know. I've checked out completely.
Okay, so... What are we supposed to do? So you brought him in and...
He can just sit there. I mean, we can do a little crossover right now.
You guys, here, please. Show's yours.
Yeah, why don't you...
So what do you think of the what do you think of 6 to 10 program on the station?
6 to 10 program?
Yeah.
I haven't been listening much.
What's the name of it?
6 to 10 program?
Or 6 to 10 program here.
I just blew it. There, I can see him in the background.
You don't know the name of the 6 to 10 program.
I do not know the name
program
of the
6 to 10 program that you have just joined.
He means AM. He means AM, not PM.
AM, okay. Yeah. Toucher and Rich Show. Yeah, of course. Yeah,
all right, tell us three things about the Toucher and Rich Show.
What's the three best things you like about Toucher and Rich?
Funniest show.
Funny.
That's
true. I like this
good.
That's
all right.
It's good.
Good music.
All right.
The third one.
Sort of a backhanded
couple. Think of John Wallach.
John Wallach?
Yeah. Do you know who that is?
No.
Yeah.
We're having trouble getting the message.
That's
out,
what the
apparently.
Research says,
yeah,
too.
The research basically says that, so don't worry about it.
He's obviously a super fan.
Yeah, that's right.
This is the early show. I have trouble getting out this early.
This is good.
It's all right. Don't worry about it.
Right,
we don't know who you are.
What do you know about Scott Zolak? Other than, like on the air, what do you know? What, like when you think of Scott Zolak on the air, what do you think of?
Hot takes. Misuse of the word sneaky.
Sneaky. Very good. Yeah. So you've been listening to the show last week.
Very recently, yeah. A little bit.
You're
good football takes. You know
you're
going to
do great. Yeah. You're going to do great here.
He's a big fan of the station, obviously.
This coming from... They've had Nick Bird, who absolutely does nothing. You remember the Adolfo kid. I don't know if you remember him.
So do you know who Adolfo was?
Do you know who Adolfo is?
I don't.
Okay.
How long have you lived in town?
My whole life.
Oh, wow.
And you don't know who Adolfo is?
No.
Okay.
Wow.
All right. We'll have
put
fun
on
with
the spot
him.
Right now.
Enjoy yourself, Zo.
We're going to fuck.
He's a winner.
Let me ask you, what's your hiring percentage? Like, for people that you have as interns, have you hired anybody who's ever been an intern?
Me?
Yeah.
No, Jim deals with all that, and I never call the intern by its name. I name it.
Like, this is a way into the... I'll tell you one thing. The Toucher and Rich Show has a very high hiring rate of interns. Like, I mean, a lot of them work here.
Yeah.
Do any of them that you've ever had work here?
Nick, we've had Nick the Big Greek.
Oh, you're
Tom
screwed.
Tom was our intern.
T-Bone was an intern,
okay.
Right?
He's our producer right now.
So
right,
he was an intern.
What do you want to do for a living? I forgot your name. What do you want to do for a living?
Remember George, the freaking Puerto Rican? He knew every area code, little intern. He never did anything, but he smelled like cigarettes and noir.
Yeah.
Jacquard noir. That was one of my favorite interns.
What do you want to do for a living?
I would love to talk about sports on the radio.
Okay. And you're completely unfamiliar with this station.
He's so tight.
No. I mean, I've listened a lot. Back in the day.
Back in the day.
And as of late, I'm pretty busy out of school, so I don't have a lot of time to be listening to the radio.
Here he is, Hardy.
I don't like him.
It's a problem.
We're doing sports next 4 hours, boys.
Wow.
A lot of Celtics. Right. A lot of Celtics.
All right, that sounds great. All right, everyone.
Nice to meet you.
You're done. Nice to meet you guys.
Good luck.
Colin here's a big fan of the station. You showed yourself well. That'll do it for us, Bob.